Welcome, Hope Grown Face, to another Monday Mom Mentor. Today I have here with me Julianne Gilchrist, who is somebody that I actually know in real life, which is kind of fun. She lives in the city next to me, not like next to me, house next to me, but the next door city. And we have some mutual friends and we've met a few times and it's been a joy to get to know her. So I'm excited to share her with you as well. So Julianne, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure.
Who you are?
Yeah, I am Julianne. I'm a spiritual director and a writer, and I have three kids. They're 6, 8, and 10. Youngest is a boy and then two girls. And I'm married to my husband, who's a good person to be married to.
Excellent.
Yes. And yeah, our life is a lot of the doing the parenting thing right now and raising kids and living life together in our community. So yeah,
that's exactly where we are all at too. So can you tell me about a little bit about your work as a spiritual director? Because I know when I first heard that phrase, I was like, what on earth is that?
Right. Yeah.
You probably get that a lot, right?
For sure. And it has a really long tradition, like centuries old. But it's just now coming to be known, especially more in Protestant circles. I would say even in the last 10 to 15 years, people are starting to hear about it a little more. So a spiritual director is a person who journeys with another person and creates space for them to listen and respond to what God is doing and saying in their lives. Lauren Winner is one of my favorite writers, and she, in one of her books, talked about going to a spiritual director. And the language she used that really resonated with me was that having a spiritual director is like having another set of ears to listen with you to what God is doing. And so, sometimes we have mentors or people who are discipling us, and those are really great things, but they're not actually the same as a spiritual director.
I was just going to ask you what the difference was.
Yeah. So a mentor or a discipler might come in and say, they might provide the content, I guess, for what you are talking about. So they might say, hey, we're going to study this book together, or these are the three things that I want us to talk about, which is really important and really good work. In spiritual direction, the person receiving direction, and it's kind of funny, but in our circles, they're referred to as directees. The directee would come for about an hour-long appointment, and they actually are the ones who bring what they want to talk about. And so, when I prepare for a session, I'm not providing the content. My role is really to provide the space, and the directee comes. And so a typical session might look like you would come, we might start with some silence and maybe a short prayer. And then it's really up to you to say, this is what I want to talk about today. And because we believe that all of life is connected to God, that all of life is sacred, really, you could bring anything. You could bring the argument you had with your husband last night and why it's still nagging at you. So we might start with anything going on in your life, but what we're really trying to get at is, how are you experiencing God in or through that external experience? So we're looking at the interior life. And so my job then, as you talk, is to ask questions, to kind of reflect back what I'm hearing, to make some observations. But I'm not there to say, well, this is what God is doing, and this is what you should do in response. It's really about me just helping you listen. And the hope is always then that it's not just, we do the internal work, but it's not just for the sake of the internal work, that it flows out into how you live the rest of your life and how you respond to God in the everyday kind of situations. So it's a lot of talking and listening. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we will do some kind of contemplative exercises. So sometimes I might lead a directee through a reading of a psalm, giving them space to really reflect on what words are speaking to them in that, or, something that provides some of that space for them to listen to God. Yeah, so that's kind of what we do. And it's really, I find people share their stories and they share their struggles and their questions and their doubts. And sometimes in spiritual direction, we're not doing the, I saw God in this yesterday. We're doing more of the, like, I don't know where God is in my life right now. He feels really distant and I don't know what to do. And that feels really hard. Like, we're doing some of that hard work of sitting together in the silence and in the wilderness places. So it's, I love it. It's such a privilege to be able to journey with people in those spaces. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It must take a lot of patience on your part not to like jump in and be like, well, I think this, I guess a certain personality type it would be better for than others.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Not so much the fixers.
Right. And I think, like, even as people are trained in spiritual direction, most of us probably had those moments of realizing, like, oh, I have a tendency to, like, want to fix something or want to offer advice. But it's when you start to realize that that's not your role, and your role is really listening for God. Like, what's God doing? Or what do you think God's doing? And really just being present. I think we, in our culture and our society today, we have a lack of space to listen well to each other and to be present with each other. And so, like, for that hour in spiritual direction, you have someone that's what they're there for, is simply to be present with you as you're, you know, processing and thinking and praying and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
That's right. So you had to take a couple years of education for this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So my background is, I'm actually trained and ordained as a pastor. Okay. And I worked in campus ministry for a number of years, and then stepped away from that and started. It was kind of my work in campus ministry that kind of made me go, maybe spiritual direction would be a good fit for me. So then after I stepped away from my job in campus ministry, did a 2-year training program in spiritual direction.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So as you were talking, I had a number of questions rolling around in my mind. The first of all is a little bit maybe like counseling, except that you're helping them see where God is working.
No.
There
are some crossovers, I think, but they're distinct fields. Mm-hmm. And I've never been trained as a counselor, so I don't want to misrepresent counseling, but my understanding would be, the difference would be, like, counseling is might be working on some specific issues and helping you move forward in those things, or helping you process things from your past or whatever it might be. Whereas I feel like spiritual direction, is more the paying attention to what God is doing in you. And, the stuff from the past definitely comes up, but we want to know, like, what's going on now with you and God. So I feel like it's distinct.
Yeah, that is pretty different. Yeah, I can see that now. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I did spiritual direction for a little while. I was the directee. Mm-hmm. and our old pastor was in school for that, probably from the same place that you took your training from. But for me, it was really hard because he would just sit there. He would ask me a question and he would just sit. And I was like, there were times when I was almost falling asleep. I'm like, oh man, just tell me something.
And that's, you know, I always tell people at the beginning, like, there's probably going to be a lot of silence, and that's okay. And you might feel really uncomfortable with that because we don't do silence much today, right? Like, our lives are so busy and so noisy. So I warn them, like, it might feel awkward sometimes to have that much silence, and it's okay. It's okay, even if it feels uncomfortable. Yeah. I haven't fall asleep. Yeah.
Well, I am a 9, so, you know, on the Enneagram, so I tend to literally fall asleep to life. So that came to play very good. But yeah, I remember that, like, some very specific things in my life that changed as a result of that. Mm. Just very quiet, listening, meditative times. Even when I was bored to tears, God was doing stuff, right? I'm not saying you would bore me to tears. He was just like a really super quiet guy. Mm. Anyway, he was wonderful. I really appreciated him. but and I did learn a lot. It was just, it was so different for me. So I think maybe that's why it's really good for. So as a mom then, do you find that you use some of these tools and techniques with your kids more than you maybe would have otherwise?
Yeah, I think sometimes I have to be reminded that some of the same approaches that I use in spiritual direction could be used for my kids. And I've had some people point that out to me, especially one of my daughters tends to be really sensitive and really reactive towards things. And as I was talking to someone about that, they kind of reminded me of like, you know, you kind of just could be present with her and give her space to know what she's feeling. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I do every day with my direction. Like, I guess I could do that with my kids too. And it does make a difference, you know, just that gift of presence, when she's super emotional, feeling all the feelings, to just sit and be with her. I think
so. Would you ask her any, would you ask her any specific questions, or would you just kind of sit and let her be frustrated or feeling those emotions?
Yeah, a little bit of both, depending on the situations. Sometimes I'll say, it sounds like that's really hard, you know, like just simple, like, it sounds like you're really upset about that, or like that, you seem really sad, and just sit with that. Because I think my tendency with my kids has been like, let's just get this over with so we can move on with our day. You know, like there's a lot of stuff happening here and you're really upset about it. Like, can we just move on? And they actually can't, you know, until they've felt those feelings. So I kind of have to be reminded of it pretty often, of like, okay, like your role right now isn't to fix their stuff. And it's not to rush them through what they're feeling, as much as I want to do that. Right now, they just need you to be with them and help them notice what they're feeling, help them name what they're feeling, but not to rush them through it. So that's not really easy.
No, I think that's our tendency. Yeah, I think that's our tendency as parents in lots of areas. We just want to fix the things. You know, even if we're talking about like spiritual formation and stuff, we want to just like fix a relationship, you know, like, here's a devotional to fix your obedience problem or whatever. But we have to like sit with them and listen to them and find out why they're being disobedient. And it takes so much more time and intentionality, but we all have to have a little bit of, we have to channel a little bit of Julianne.
No, if you saw me behind the scenes, you'd be like, very much still in the forming and learning process, just like,
but I think you have some great tools and tips, and that was really great to share about that. Okay, so here's my question then. If you're constantly listening to other people and helping them identify God's presence and work in their life, how do you keep your own faith moving forward? Do you have a spiritual director? Are there certain things that you do or practices that you do in your day or in your week that help you keep that relationship going?
Yeah. So I do have a spiritual director, and I am consistent. Like, I meet with her once a month, and that is so good. In fact, I would say like my recommendation would be anyone who is in a kind of ministry or like helping kind of profession, has either a spiritual director or a counselor, someone that they're seeing, because they're taking in so much of other people's stuff that it's important to do that for yourself. So yes, I see my own spiritual director. And then there are some certain like spiritual practices that I try to incorporate. And I will say like right away that I am not the person who's like always on top of doing the things. So I'll offer you the things I do, but like, you know, I don't do them every day. You know, I miss days, and I go through seasons of like, sometimes this particular practice is really helpful and life-giving, and sometimes it's not. So I switch over and I do this one over here. But right now, one of the practices that is really life-giving for me is called centering prayer. And I honestly, like, it took me a while to try it and to really make it part of my rhythm, because the first few times I did it, I was kind of like, I don't really get it. I'm not connecting here. But centering prayer, and there's actually an app you can get in the app store. Oh. But it's basically like you sit in silence for about 20 minutes and you have, right? I know.
That's hard.
It is so hard. And you have a word, you choose a word at the beginning that is kind of your sacred word for that time. And so whenever your thoughts start to really wander, you kind of come back to that word. So the idea of it is simply that you are sitting with God, that you're being with God rather than like needing to do a bunch of things or learn a bunch of things. And I, like I said, when I first started this, I was like, I don't know. Like it kind of goes against, I'm a four with a five wing. And so the five is like, you know, I want to learn and I want to do the Bible studies and I, you know, read the commentaries. And I'm like, I'm just sitting.
What is this? I'm not being productive.
Exactly. So what I've been finding though, is after that 20 minutes, I feel so much more kind of God's peace. And I enter my day kind of with like, rather than, which is how I can sometimes enter my day of like, okay, this is blah, 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 you know? So the days that I do centering prayer, I just find I have some of that quiet spilling out into the rest of the busyness of my day. Mm. So that's one that I love, but I would say it's probably not for everyone. Or 20 minutes isn't for everyone. Like that's, yeah. So another one, I'll tell you another one that I think is more accessible.
Sure.
In fact, I have a couple of resources here if you want me to
Yes, totally.
So another one that's, that I really love is called the Prayer of Examine or Examine. People pronounce it differently. And that's a prayer that you do at the end of your day. And it simply asks you to look back over the day with God and notice those places where you notice God's presence, where you feel like you were kind of living in step with God's Spirit. And then you look back over the day again and notice those places where you weren't in step with God's Spirit, where you were kind of out of sync. And just you notice them, you give thanks for those times you notice God's Spirit, and you, if you need to confess anything from your day, you do that. And in all of it, it's a giving thanks to God and noticing what maybe God wants you to notice. And what I love about that prayer is if you do it consistently, it kind of changes the way you then notice during the day. During the day, you're more aware, I think, of like, oh yeah, like something about this moment with my kids. I feel like I'm noticing God in this or even, you know, noticing in the other direction, like, okay, I need to do that here because I'm noticing with where God wants me to be.
I need to go do some centering prayer.
I'm going to go sit by myself for 20 minutes, people.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is hard when your kids are young, right? Like I can do that now because all my kids are in school this year for the first time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing that when my kids were all home running through the house like little maniacs. But I also love the Prayer of Examine because you can do it in 10 or 15 minutes at the end of your day. And so I've known moms who are like so tired and so busy just doing the, like not busy in the like our lives are too busy, but busy just because little kids take all of your time and energy, just keeping them alive, you know, making sure that they're fed and clothed and clean and not like bringing dressers down on top of them, you know?
Yes.
So that happened in our house a few weeks ago. So
we had that one too.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, to take 10 minutes and just look back over your day, asking God to show you what God wants to show you, I think can be really like centering for people. I think it can kind of remind them of like who they are and who God is. And it's something, so there is this great app. and it's a website and an app called Pray As You Go. PrayAsYouGo.org is the website. Have you used that?
We talked about that one last week.
Really?
I've been using it recently. I had used it a few years ago and then went and found it again. I'm like, I need this again.
Yeah. So on that, they have a prayer of examine as well as the like daily readings.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. So you can get an audio version that just guides you through. And one really cool thing is if your spouse is not in a place where they want to pray out loud with you, you can put on the audio and you can both do it individually, kind of in your own spirits and heads. And so you're kind of doing something together, but not out loud. So my husband and I did that together. It was probably 2 years ago for a short season. And I just was like, this is really cool. Like we're doing a spiritual practice together, but it puts no pressure on him or on me to like be leading the prayer or, you know, be
right
vocal in it. So that's another reason why I just love the prayer of examine, because you can do it with people, but by yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And even with your kids, like there's a kid's version on Pray As You Go. And so every now and then we'll turn it on for the kids, and it's really kid friendly. Like it uses language they would understand. So, you know, as you're tucking them in, you can put it on for 10 minutes and, you know, they might not make it through, and depending on their age, they might be like, well, okay, I'm ready to talk now. But
yeah,
to kind of teach them some rhythms of spiritual practices that, invite them to slow down a little bit. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of the contemplative style of worship too, right? Like these contemplative prayers, the centering prayer, Lectio Divina, prayer of examine are all just like, let's just sit with God and be with him and see where he is with us in our day.
Right.
Which I think is accessible to us as moms, right? Like even if a real deep inductive Bible study is not.
Right.
You know, we can pray. For sure, right? Even in the bathroom, in the shower. And what I really like about that is that it gives me some sort of structure, because I find, at least for me, just like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray now. I'm like, I don't know what to pray about.
Where do I even begin?
Exactly. But having some kind of structure like that really helps. So for a while, I was actually using prayer beads, and I was like praying through the Lord's Prayer. And then I was, there was a few other things I was praying through, and that was really helping me as well. Just having a structure. Just funny, because we kind of bash structures a lot, like in the Protestant church, like, oh my goodness, we can't use those liturgies. Yeah. I can't believe you're using a liturgy. But they're actually really helpful.
Well, I think it's what we do with it, right? It's a tool.
Yes.
And if we make it more than a tool, if we make it the thing, then it becomes unhelpful. It becomes kind of too binding. But if we see it as it's a tool to help us create space to be with God, then I think they're fantastic. So, two other resources.
Okay, yes.
This one, you might be familiar
Seeking
with.
Seeking God's Face, praying with the Bible through the air.
So this is a book that I love. And probably 3 years ago, I was really gung-ho and I was like, I'm going to get up early and have time with God. And it didn't matter how much earlier I set my alarm, one of my kids would inevitably wake up. I'd be like,
they would hear you.
For Pete's sake, just stay in bed. But I was doing this book, and a couple times my daughter would just come sit with me and I would just read it and she would just kind of settle in. So the way this book is set up is that there are, I don't know if you'll be able to see this, but there's this amount for each day.
Okay.
And it's dated, so you can... It's not like you have to, you know, you don't start from the beginning and read through the end. You just flip over to open to whatever day it is today.
Right.
And so for each day, there's two Bible readings that are there, and then time for quiet, and then questions of just like, you know, read it again. Notice what catches your mind or like catches your eye. Notice what stands out to you. And then spend some time talking to God about it. And then there's a little prayer and a blessing at the end. So it could be like, this could take 10 minutes or it could take 20 minutes, depending on how much time you want to do it. But I love it because, again, it's a tool that provides that space of like, I get a little bit of scripture, but in a way that invites me to really meditate on it and see what stands out. And then, and then to just kind of sit in some quiet and be with God. So I love this book. The other one that I think for moms, especially if you have young kids, is this one, The Artisan Pace. It's a coloring book.
Okay.
And so it was actually produced by another Hope writer. And it's a devotional. So it's, I think it has 14 days of devotions. And so on one side is a little devotion to read. And then at the bottom, there are just a couple like questions to reflect on. And the idea is then that you would then color. It's not probably a very good picture. So these are all like,
I can see it. It looks like a cake.
yep. Lots of flowers. She drew lots of flowers in here. You just sit and color while you're reflecting on the questions. And so what I love about this is that if you have young kids who are coloring, you can sit down at the table and color alongside of them, letting some of those questions just be in your mind as you're coloring and visiting with them. Mm. And it kind of is like this easy way to add in a little taste of God's presence into what you're already doing with your kids.
Yeah.
So
there was, did you ever see the, I can't remember what it was called. It was like Me and My Parent. It was coloring devotions, but they opened in the middle. And so you would like sit across the table from your child, and there was a deeper one, like a more intricate one on one side and a simpler one on the other side. And the simpler one just had a Bible verse.
Okay.
And the more intricate one had like a 50 word devotion and a Bible verse.
Oh, that's so cool. I haven't seen pretty that.
Good. That one's by Rachel Swanson, another Hope writer. So that was pretty cool. You were using that one for a little bit. Yeah, so if you want to actually color the same coloring book as your child, I mean, it doesn't have like that much text or, you know, the reflection questions and stuff, but there are lots of resources out there if you start digging, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. So those are a few things that I appreciate at this phase of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I definitely get that. Okay. And do you have some, we were going to talk about Advent because, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, sometimes you do certain things in a certain phase or a certain time of year that you do differently in different times. Yes. So you have created something for Advent, or you did last year already. And I think you said you were editing it for this year. Mm-hmm. So talk about what you're doing for Advent this year.
Yeah. Okay. I love Advents. For so many reasons, but I love the way it kind of just naturally prompts us to turn our eyes towards Jesus. But that said, I think it's getting harder and harder in our culture to remember that that's what Advent actually is about, and not about like all the parties and all the concerts and all the gifts you have to buy. And so it's this weird juxtaposition of like, an invitation to just reflect on how amazing it is that God became human in like this tiny helpless baby, and then go, 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 do, you know, all the lights, all the tinsel, everything. So I try to be intentional with our family about creating some family traditions that invite us into a slower pace during Advent. Luckily, our kids' school doesn't do any kind of Advent or Christmas or holiday concert or, you know, like they just don't. So we have one layer already off the table that I know a lot of people, that's not their story. But so some of the things we do a family Advent wreath on Sunday nights after supper. We light the candle, we read a little bit of the Advent story, and then kind of talk about whatever the theme might be for that week, hope, joy, love, peace, which is like, it can be quite the hilarious conversation. And, you know, the kids are like fighting over who gets to blow the candle out. And like,
oh, yes. Same thing happens in our house.
Yeah.
It's my turn.
Yeah. So it's, you know, but I love that they're seeing this pattern of like, we're setting this aside. There's something significant about this time. And even though it might sometimes feel a little chaotic, they're still learning those rhythms. So that's one thing that we do as a family. So last year what I had created was called the Quiet Advent Calendar. And it just every day had a different every day of the week had a different kind of focus. So, and they were things that were not too, not too busy, I guess. Yeah. So like one day a week, the word was delight, and you were to find something to do during the day that you could delight in, with reminding us that when God became human, he took on, you know, the physical body. And I think that says a lot about the value of creation and the value of our bodies. And so one of the ways we can experience God is by doing things that, that remember or recognize our senses. And so on the day on the calendar that said delight, some of the ideas were, you know, eat a meal that you love, or sit and do something with your hands, you know, whether that's knitting or coloring or something that involves your sense of touch, or listen to a song that you love and simply sit and listen to it, like not while you're just going around doing other things, you know, so things like that. So one of them was delight. One was give. But it could be as simple as give someone the gift of a hug today, or your smile, or kind words, or, you know, things like that. So it was really designed to help us slow down during Advent, but not in a way that was just one more thing, you know, one more thing.
Right.
Our already busy schedule. So I am hoping and planning to kind of revise that a bit this year. And then the other thing I'm working on is an Advent reader that will come out kind of at the end of November. So that's quickly approaching. But it's just as a little devotion for each day in December. And it includes devotions, some little reflections on scripture, but it also has a day each week that is more of a Lectio Divina style of asking you to just sit with a text, or I think one day each week has just a prayer, and one day has some journal prompts or like reflection questions to just get you to kind of observe and wonder about this season. So yeah, so those are some things I'm working on that I'm excited about for Advent.
Excellent. Well, send us the links for those when you have them done.
Sure.
It's great. Quiet Advent. That sounds delightful. This is the first year I was telling my husband, this is the first year I've been excited for Advent and Christmas in probably over a decade, because I spent so much time working in church and the Christmas season was so busy. We had Christmas dinners and Christmas, well, we didn't really do pageants or anything, but there was always like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And then there's just so many services and so many things to do. And it was so frustrating trying to find people to volunteer for stuff.
Right.
So it just like left me with this really cynical edge about Christmas and Advent. But this year, two of my kids are homeschooling. The other one's only in school part-time. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to creating like not a bubble. I mean, I guess bubbles aren't always bad, but kind of like a peaceful Advent for us, right? Where we're not going to be rushing around and doing stuff. We're going to be taking time to serve our neighbors and just doing what God is calling us to do this Advent. So that's going to be our quiet Advent.
I love it. It's so good.
Not being in a rush for once. This is my second year away from the church ministry now. So I feel like I'm finally like healing. I'm sure there are lots of people that like, and those things were all really necessary. Just was very hard in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I talked to my sister-in-law the other day. So it was the middle of November, and she was going to her first Christmas party of the season. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
We're not in the season yet. Like, we're still in November.
Kidding. So, we don't even have snow yet, barely.
Right. And I think that as we add more and more and more activities into December, like churches start to look at that and go, oh, we need to back that up because people are too busy in these weeks of December. So let's do it in November. Like, and I just wonder I know those ministries are important, but I wonder if adding more and more activities is actually helping anyone.
I don't think it is. And that's a reminder to us as parents too, that we don't have to go to everything that we're invited to, even if it's a church function. We don't have to do everything or serve at everything because our own
sanity is important too.
Exactly.
And peace. Christ came to bring peace. I mean, the angels came and they sang peace on earth, goodwill to men. And like, right. Christmas is the least peaceful time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we need to figure out what is the good, the right thing for our family, what God is calling us. So our family is mostly introverted. So, mm-hmm. you know, what God is calling us to do is probably pretty different than what God is, you know, calling a family of extroverts to do.
Right.
Yeah. They can do all the extra services.
Exactly.
We'll just sit at home and drink tea. Yeah.
Totally.
So do you have any last like encouragement or advice for moms who really want to meet with God in a deeper way during their day?
Mm.
Or help their kids experience God in a deeper way during the day, but are just kind of struggling to find space?
Yeah. I think the first thing that comes to my mind is just be gracious to yourself. I think I was meeting with a mom of very young kids, and she was really wanting that connection with God, and but also feeling a bit guilty that it wasn't happening in her day. And I'm like, you don't even right now, like you don't even get to pee by yourself right now, you know?
Yeah.
This is the phase of life you're in. And that's okay. God is still in that with you. And so I think if you're in that phase of life where like you're just keeping little people alive, and like that's a good thing to keep those little people alive, and give yourself grace that it doesn't have to look, your spiritual growth and your spiritual life doesn't need to look like anyone else's.
Right.
God can meet you exactly where you are. So with that as the caveat, I would then say to find a practice that connects with you, and that it doesn't need to look like someone else's. It doesn't need to be like a 20-minute quiet time of, you know, reading your Bible and outlining the 3 points that you think are the most important, and then planning it, putting in a plan of action. Which is kind of what I lived with for a long time in my
life.
Was like, this is what it needs to look like. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not really a good Christian, which is just ridiculous. So
yeah.
Find something that helps you connect with God. And it might be a prayer of examine. It might be a lectio. It might be putting in your earbuds and listening to a pray as you go while you're washing dishes. It might be taking a walk, you know, like putting your kid in the stroller and taking a walk and just talking to God, you know, as you're walking. Like, but to let it be what it needs to be for you in this phase of life is kind of what I would say.
That sounds very wise. All right. So Julianne, just before we go, I want you to tell people where we can find you online, because I have personally found your blog posts and resources really helpful. So tell us where we can find you.
Sure. So my website is julianngilchrist.com. So my first and last name.com.
Perfect.
And on there is information about spiritual direction and blogs. And I do a monthly newsletter. Also on there is you can sign up and get 3 spiritual practices that I love. And they are really simple things you can do anytime during your day. And then on Instagram, I'm just Julianne Gilchrist. So
super. Well, that's exciting that you have those 3 spiritual practices. So if a mom is listening and going, well, I don't even know what spiritual practices there are, they can go onto your blog and find those 3 at least.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Thanks for being with us here today.
And thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. And we will see everyone later.
Sounds good.